Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, I'm sure you're aware of what's been taking place out there in Oregon, the standoff that has been unfolding. There was an article that appeared, this was 1/15/2016, so not that long ago, just about 5-6 days ago or so. And this one appeared out on the Daily Caller. It says, "The war in the West, it's time to stop federal land acquisition." Media attention on the plight of Dwight and Stephen Hammond in Burns, Oregon, sent to prison as terrorists, quote-unquote, has focused more on the activities of some who have come to their support than the cause of the broad-based unhappiness with the federal government. But first, it is important to clarify that the Hammonds' crime, most reports note that they were prosecuted for arson on federal lands, they were prosecuted under the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, passed following the 1995 bombing of the federal building in downtown Oklahoma City. Bombing a federal building is an act of terrorism. Burning 140 acres of grass, sagebrush, and weeds to halt a wildfire and remove invasive brush is not terrorism, the article says. Ranchers, farmers, foresters, and miners homesteaded the West, often before the government reached that far, or states or counties were created. The successors of these landowners are today surrounded by a sea of federal lands. Across the West, over half of the land and resources are owned by the federal government. Listen to these percentages. I posted a graphic of this morning on my Facebook page, but it says this. In Oregon, the federal government owns 53% of the land and 75% in Harney County, where the Burns and the Melhure National Wildlife Refuge is located. The county is over 10,000 square miles in size, larger than 9 states, with a population of barely 7,000 people. It is effectively a federal colony, controlled and administered by the federal government. The federal government owns 85% of the state of Nevada, 64% of both Utah and Idaho. I mean, it's just remarkable. And when you see this in a graphic representation, wow, it's just stunning and startling when you see it, I think. And so the article goes on from there. And basically, this is written by a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, fellow by the name of Robert J. Smith. And basically in the article, he is then saying, we got to look at what the real problem is here, not the current rendition of the animosity between these two groups. And I think that that is exactly right as we look at what's taking place. So that's what we want to do on the program here today. We want to look at that subject. And Dr. Bonner Cohen joins me now, and he's also with the exact same group, with co-laborer together with the person, with Robert, who wrote that article, and he's a senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. And Dr. Cohen, it's great to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Well, it's great being here.
I laid that out a little bit, but if you'd like to add a little bit more to the introduction of this subject, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, and I want to thank you for laying that out, because a lot of people who haven't spent much time in the West or simply flown over it in an airplane on their way to California have no idea of the enormous presence of the federal government throughout the rural West. And it is a de facto colonial setup there in which people who live in the rural West are really subjects of the federal government. And even if they own private land there, that land is frequently bordered by federal land. Now, it's important to recognize here that we're not talking about, in most cases, national parks. No. We're talking about land that is run by the BLM, or Bureau of Land Management, or in many cases land mismanagement, that is part of the U.S. Department of Interior. And the enormous federal presence in the West is the ultimate root of the standoff in Oregon, and there have been other standoffs over the years, and there will be others in weeks, months, and years to come, simply because of the anomalous situation wherein we in the United States actually practice land socialism, and we do it on a massive scale in a part of the country which is very rich in natural resources, and we are subjecting the people of the rural part of the United States to, as I said, a colonial status. Now, let's go back and look at the quote-unquote crime that was committed by the Hammond family and how the federal government, specifically the Obama administration, used this crime for its own purposes. The Hammonds were carrying out a burn on their own property to keep a wildfire, which originated on federal land, from spilling over into their property. Well, these things, of course, are inherently difficult to manage. You're subject to shifting winds and what have you. And sure enough, some of the fire that they wanted to keep on their land did spread into adjacent federal land on 138 acres of the federal land. For our listeners, 138 acres is less than a quarter of a square mile. This is a tiny area. For this, the Obama administration used a fairly obscure 1996 law, essentially branding the father and son, Mr. Hammond and his son, as terrorists. They were sent to jail. They were finally released from jail until a federal judge decided on his own that they hadn't spent enough time in jail, so he made them go back to jail after they had already been released. Now, imagine, and this has happened over and over again, okay, their crime, quote-unquote, was allowing a fire that they started on their land to spill into federal land. Well, what happens when a fire starts on federal land and goes into private land? Do you think any BLM bureaucrat or anyone else is going to wind up in jail? The answer is no. As a matter of fact, oftentimes landowners aren't even told in advance that the BLM is carrying out a prescribed burn on its land, and if it spills over into your land, you, the rancher, well, that's just too bad. So these are the kinds of double standards that exist throughout the West, and these are the kinds of things that has that have led to all the animosity that, that you're seeing. Now, whereas a lot of media attention has gone to the Bundy family, which is not even from the area, they're from Nevada, going north to Oregon and expressing solidarity with the Hammond family, along with some other people who have occupied the Federal Reserve, the Wildlife Reserve in Oregon. As interesting as that is, and we certainly hope that that the whole thing develops in such a way that there isn't any bloodshed or anything like that.
Sure.
But that's not the real issue. The real issue is government ownership of land.
I put this on a quote from, I think it was from the website, the National Center for Public Policy Research website, and it was talking about this this issue, but it said this, and it quoted you, Dr. Cohen. It said, the injustices that have befallen the Hammond family in Oregon are symptomatic of a larger problem of massive federal ownership of land throughout the rural West. Farmers and ranchers in the West are subjected to the whims of federal bureaucrats who lord over the region like an occupying power, but the relentless harassment of hardworking families is only part of the story. All Americans suffer when the country is denied access to the valuable natural resources locked up on or beneath millions of acres of federal land. The best stewards of the land are the people who own it, people whose livelihoods are dependent upon the responsible stewardship of their property. It is time to end the rural West colonial status by getting the feds off the land and selling the land to willing buyers. That's really what has been exposed here. Unfortunately, I don't think the media is covering it that way. But why does the federal government need to own absolutely millions upon millions of acres of land in the United States?
This is a federal government that currently is $19 trillion in debt.
Mm.
And if the people at the Department of the Interior had their way, they would purchase more land with money borrowed from the from the Chinese or the Saudis or anybody else who buys our debt. And of course, the federal government has absolutely no business whatsoever, quote unquote, managing land out west. The maintenance backlog at the national parks comes to over $11 billion. And anybody who's been to national parks, which is not the kind of land we're talking about here, but just to show you what a grandiose mess it is when a government manages land, the roads, the restrooms, all of this, in many cases, are in a terrible state of disrepair, and they have been like that for years and years. What we need to do is sell off as much of that land as we possibly can, which we were doing until a 1976 law came along, signed into law by President Gerald Ford. It was one of these bipartisan boondoggles wherein the Democratic Congress teamed up with a Republican president to the detriment of the rest of the country, particularly the people in the West. And those land sales are now banned unless, of course, Congress specifically authorizes the sale. Well, that needs to be reversed immediately. Or another way of dealing with the problem is to devolve that land from the federal government to the states of which they're in, to devolve the land to Utah, to Idaho, to Oregon, to Washington, Nevada, Wyoming, and what have you, and then let the states do whatever they wish to do with that land, and probably the most of them would sell it off because it's a source of revenue. Hmm. Imagine your county government, where most of us live. How does it derive the revenue for it to provide basic services to the population? The answer is, of course, property taxes. Well, how can a county government collect property taxes when 75% of that county is owned by the federal government?
Mm-hmm.
The point is, they can't, which means that this money doesn't go for the maintenance of water systems. It doesn't go for the maintenance of roads. It doesn't go for the local school system. So, again, you completely undermined the economic viability of rural communities throughout the West by this absolutely hideous government ownership of land. And one of the ironies here is that the wildlife refuge, the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, that is being occupied by the Bundy family and other people who sympathize with the Hammonds, but the Hammonds themselves have nothing to do with the occupation. Well, that's 187,000 acres of land on its own.
Wow.
All federal property. That the government has no business managing a wildlife refuge. The Audubon Society, which is a private organization, does a much better job at a much lower cost. What the government should do is sell the 187,000 wildlife refuge to the highest bidder, which may well be the Audubon Society or some other private group, and let these people do it. It's not a function that the government should be carrying out, particularly a government that is as broke as ours.
Mm-hmm. So we got this problem that the government owns these massive tracts of lands out there and all of the associated problems, as you were just pointing out, the cost involved in the loss of tax revenue and so forth that's there. But on top of that, on top of them owning all this land, they seem to be going out of their way to goad these and bother these ranchers that are trying to live there as well. Here's what the article says that we started with in the Daily Caller that we started the program with. It says this: ever more onerous government regulations make it difficult for landowners to use their lands and often next to impossible to cross the government lands on the historic right-of-ways to gain access to water and grazing lands. Selective enforcement of laws like the Endangered Species Act can prevent landowners from using land that has no endangered species, but does have a habitat that the species could use if they were there. So it's just a potential thing. And then he says this, the federal government also uses the Clean Water Act to designate dry desert lands as jurisdictional wetlands of the United States because occasionally rainwater will pool in some of those areas for a week or so. So it's just so blatantly obvious that they are, you know, this is being pulled over for the taillight being out because, you know, you've got to find something. They're using these laws in a way that they were never intended to use to harass these landowners that live nearby, and this type of treatment coupled with the massive land ownership has led to the situation that we find ourselves in today. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. The people at the BLM, the so-called land managers, have a well-deserved reputation of being bullies. They like to throw their weight around, and they will find any pretext to go after the local population, mostly ranchers. And if you are unfortunate enough, as were the Hammonds, to have private land that abuts federal land, believe me, the feds are not going to leave you alone. They're going to pick on you. They're going to pick on you because they know they can get away with it.
Mm.
And these people, in many cases, are drunk with power. They're not held accountable for anything that they do, such as starting a fire on their land. It goes into your land. Well, that's just too bad for you. But make sure it never happens the other way around. There's a brilliant scholar at the Cato Institute in Washington. He's a legal scholar by the name of Roger Pilon. He said something very simple once, but it's true. He said, if you don't want power abused, don't grant it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have at the BLM is we have government exercising power by virtue of all of this land that it owns and controls. So, of course, it's going to abuse it. And once you have an empire, a real estate empire, there's a natural desire on your part, well, we need to expand the empire to, and here's the operative word, protect more and more land.
Mm.
And so so what happens is, they believe me, if they had their way, they would favor the purchase of even more land because, after all, it's not their money. It's a taxpayer's money that does this.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, these people work hand in glove, and we know this through a Freedom of Information request that has uncovered email exchanges between the feds and environmental groups. What the environmental groups want to do, of course, is depopulate the rural West to drive people off their land, to make it impossible for them to make a living here so that they finally throw up their hands, sell the property. The property will frequently be purchased by an environmental group, which will then flip the land to the feds.
Hmm.
That little racket has been going on, not for years, but for decades.
Hmm.
Make it impossible for them to live, drive them off the land, force them to sell low, you come in, take the property, and then sell high to the feds, because the feds don't care what they pay for the land because it's not their money in the first place.
Right.
So this scam has been going on for a long, long time.
So they take the money from the people, and they end up buying the people's land and turning it into the government's land. And
that's exactly right. Yes. A lot of these groups, the Nature Conservancy is one of them. There are a bunch of others. They're really real estate agents for the feds.
Hmm.
And again, always under the pretext of protecting land.
I mean,
what they're really doing is lining their pockets.
Well, how much land can you protect? I mean, pretty soon, basically, this begins to look like, from not just in the other policies that we see coming out of Washington, but in this particular region, speaking about energy and natural resources and these types of things, It begins to look awful socialistic, maybe even communistic.
Well, it is socialistic.
Yes,
where the
state owns everything. I mean,
the state owns everything, and it owns the resources below that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these lands out west, some of the land is more valuable than other, but a lot of these lands do have rich deposits of oil and natural gas, all sorts of precious metals, all things that our economies and economies around the world can use. Now, this week we've all been concentrating on the great stock market crash, and mm-hmm. we know that globally commodity prices are way down because the Chinese economy is undergoing a rather substantial retreat. But look, if the commodity prices go up and down, believe me, they will come back. And when they do, whether that's a year from now or 3 years from now, nobody knows. But when they do, all of these valuable resources that our country has are there to be exploited and could help economically reinvigorate not only that area but other areas around the country. But none of that is going to happen as long as the federal government, in league with environmental groups, is determined to deny us access to the geological gifts that this country has.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Cohen, final question. We're down to a little more than a minute in the interview, but we're in election season. Since you're tuned to these types of issues and this particular issue here that we're talking about, you know, with land management and natural resources and so forth, any of the candidates, do you find any of them talking about this issue in a way that you find acceptable?
The only two candidates who have mentioned this with any degree of prominence have been Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. Now, our foundation can't get into elections. We're kept by taxes to we can't favor one candidate over another, get involved in elections. But just a straight answer to your question, two of the potential presidential candidates have said the problem lies with government ownership of the land, and the land needs to be sold.
Mm.
And that's just a matter of public record of what Mr. Cruz and Mr. Rand have said.
Okay. And there's a reasonable amount that the government may need to own, I would imagine, for like bases, military bases,
military bases, sure.
But,
exactly. And by the way, what we find out, we don't really need this military base. Sell the land. This has happened before,
mm-hmm.
and certain areas have benefited greatly from all of a sudden, hey, there's this land that's no longer off limits to us.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what needs to take place. I mean, this idea, I wish people could see that map, but just go out there. You can do it for yourself and just Google it, you know, land owned by the federal government. I'm sure the Google will bring up the map then, and you'll just be, I think, shocked by just how much of the United States, especially out west, you hit Texas or so, and you don't see, you have the little dots here and there, but when you're in Nevada, Utah, almost the entire states are just all red on the map. Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for writing.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, we appreciate you being on the program today. That was Dr. Bonner Cohen. He's the senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, and at that Public Policy Research Center, he concentrates on energy, natural resources, and also does some work in international relations as well. You can find out more about him by going out to their website, which is www.nationalcenter.org. That's www.nationalcenter.org. And again, you can read about Dr. Cohen and what he wrote there. The article that I referred to right in the very beginning of the broadcast was an article that was written by colleague. And his colleague, Robert J. Smith, wrote the article for the dailycaller.com, and there it was called The War in the West, Time to Stop the Federal Land Acquisition. Well, I think that's absolutely right. You know, what we need to be concerned about, and I think that this is a concern that we should have as Christians, about issues like this. By the way, this was the number one concern of Francis Schaeffer. I remember Dr. R.C. Sproul at one of the pastor's fellowships that I attended where Dr. Sproul was speaking. He said that he ended up providentially jumping into a taxi, and Francis Schaeffer was in the taxi with him. And as he got talking to him, he said, what was the number one issue that, you really are concerned about? He said, statism, you know, where the federal government basically takes the place of God. That's why I'm concerned about these issues. This is what we see taking place here. The idea of this expansion of statism in this particular case through the acquisition of all the property that is here in the United States. This is wrong. We need to stand up against it. It's something that we need to bring up with the candidates as well. Remember this. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.